You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 472 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, coming to you live very, very deep into the night here on Tuesday evening. I guess it is definitely Wednesday morning at this point in time, as the Hawks fell at the hands of the Golden State Warriors by a final score of 110 to 103 in Oracle Arena. It was the final trip for Atlanta to Oracle Arena. Of course, that will be closing up shop, and they're moving into San Francisco for next season. That was played up on the broadcast, and with good reason. That's a lot of history in that building, but obviously a game that was... In the end, only a 7-point loss, and honestly, it was pretty competitive throughout this game. The Hawks led at the half. There were a lot of positives to take away from this game, I will say. And without going too deep into this, there was a lot of pregame weirdness with the Warriors. There was a confrontation, I guess, between Kevin Durant and Draymond Green on Monday night against the Los Angeles Clippers, and that led to Green being actually suspended without pay, which is kind of a weird thing without getting too deep into that again. Green was not available in this game, and also Steph Curry did not play. So half of Golden State's Big Four was out of the lineup here, and that kind of leveled the playing field considerably for Atlanta in this game. With that said, they were able to take advantage of that. Obviously, Kevin Durant was the best player on the court, and then I would say Klay Thompson's pretty clearly the second best player on the court. But you know, after that, sort of three through ten, I tweeted this during the game, but 3 through 10 in the rotation, if you look at the Warriors roster versus what the Hawks were using in this game, I'm not sure that the Hawks aren't even or better from 3 to 10 in the rotation. Obviously, there's guys on this Warriors roster that are more famous, you know, Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, etc. But I don't think there was a huge gap 3 through 10 at the end of the day, though. 53 points from Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson were kind of the difference, and that's kind of what you expect. They were, those guys are very good at basketball, and there's a reason why the Warriors were still favored in this game by about 11 or 12 points as the game began, even without two of their top four players. But just something to follow the way there for the future. And going back and reliving this game later in the season, kind of remembering what the stakes were, what the situation was in this spot, because the Hawks obviously losing by 7 points to the Warriors would have felt like a huge win even a couple of weeks ago, or if the Warriors were at full strength. It's a little bit lessened, I will say, just by some degree, given the fact that the Warriors were shorthanded, but still, the Hawks did play well here for the most part, and getting within seven against the Warriors under any circumstances on the road, especially, is pretty impressive for Atlanta. So with that said, we'll get through the game as we always do here. We'll start at the beginning, kind of work our way through this thing, and then come back to do some individual stuff after a short break. So at the outset, no big surprise here, but it was Kent Bazemore guarding Klay Thompson and Taurean Prince on Kevin Durant. The Hawks obviously threw a lot of different guys at Kevin Durant in this game, and Durant finished the game with 29 points despite not making a three. He actually wasn't terribly efficient, so you know, I have to kind of give credit to the Hawks for keeping him in check. In fact, Golden State was actually -7 with Durant on the court, which is kind of crazy to see. It was actually Jonas Jerebko that was +23 in this spot with 14 points, 13 rebounds for the Warriors. But yeah, just something to follow way there. I did note early in this game that the Warriors were kind of treating Trae Young with a lot of respect. There was a lot of trapping, a lot of playing him well out on the floor. That kind of opened up passing lanes in this game. I will say that Young did not shoot well. Spoiler alert, if you missed this one, he did not shoot the ball well. We'll talk about him much more later on individually, but they were treating him like a star in the way they were defending him, which is not a new thing this season. That a lot of, I would say probably most teams have treated Trae Young that way, but it was especially clear in this game that the Warriors were not going to let Trae beat them. He was not able to do that, but at the same time, he kind of took what the team was giving them for the most part, and that's something to keep in mind when evaluating his play this evening. It was a pretty sluggish start on both sides. The Hawks only had 2 points in the first 3.5 minutes or so. The Warriors opened 1 of 8 from the floor. The Hawks were 3 of 11 from the floor in the first couple of minutes. It was honestly a lot of runs in the first quarter, so in the entire first half, back and forth after that slow start on both sides. There was a 7-0 from the Warriors. There was an 8-0 from the Warriors, take a 20-13 lead late in the first quarter. And then the Hawks actually had a 13-0 run between the end of the first quarter and the beginning of the second quarter. That was probably their best stretch of the entire game, honestly. That came with some reserves on the floor. The Hawks did turn the ball over a lot early on. They had 6 turnovers in the first 9 minutes, finished the game with only 17. That's actually pretty impressive given the way that things started. After that, they were pretty normal turnover rate, which is good for a team that's at the bottom of the league in turnovers right now. But they took care of the ball for the most part after those first 8-9 minutes of this game. So defensively in the first quarter, it was kind of a huge thing to bank on there. Atlanta played Golden State. Actually, they took a 3-point lead into the second quarter based on their defense. The Warriors had only like an 80.3 defensive rating in the first quarter. Sorry, offensive rating in the first quarter, which means the Hawks. That was the same defensive rating for the Hawks. And the Warriors shot 29% from the floor in the first quarter. So basically, nothing really happening for Golden State outside of Durant offensively in that first quarter, which is a credit to Atlanta. They played quality defense for the most part there. I mentioned that, you know, the 13-0 run for the Hawks to end the first and begin the second quarter. Of course, immediately the Warriors rattled off a 13-2 run after that, kind of even the score a little bit. There was sort of a theme of this game. There was a lot of runs on both sides. They were kind of even runs in both directions. I noted there was a really hilarious missed pass from Torian Prince when he had Alex Len wide open for a very, very long time. That would have been a very easy dunk for Len. That kind of, there was some video and still photos from that made the rounds on the internet from people like Jeff Siegel and KL Chenard, the guys who were watching this game from a more X's and O's bent. Those guys, it was pretty clear that Prince just kind of had a brain fart. There was a wide open pass there that he just missed. Something that was a talking point on Twitter, to be sure. I wanted to at least make sure I mentioned that because I wrote it down. The Hawks actually, interestingly, ran an out-of-bounds play for Vince Carter that actually ended up with a Vince Carter post-up and a left-handed hook shot. It actually went in, but it was kind of just hilarious to see the Hawks run an ATO for Vince Carter, and it actually worked, but it was kind of an interesting spot there to do that. The Hawks did have a stretch of five straight trips in the second quarter in which they scored. That was huge in keeping the game as close as it was. I will say, and we'll talk about this later with Trae Young, but Trae Young had three steals in the first half, something I definitely want to put a pin in and come back to. And there was a trio of threes from Torian Prince. Three of his four threes in the game came in the second quarter at an important time for Atlanta, and they were able to play the Warriors even to a 29-29 second quarter, which means they had a three-point lead at the half, something definitely that's worth noting in this game. 11 points each from Vince Carter and Torian Prince in the first half, only three turnovers in the last 15 minutes of the half. And, you know, Trae had a balanced line in the first half aside from his bad shooting, which we'll come back to, but that's something to keep in mind. The Hawks also kept the Warriors with a 97 offensive rating in the first half. The Warriors did get off in the second half offensively, which we'll talk about, but a pretty good first half defensive effort, which sort of allowed the Hawks to stay within striking distance and actually take the lead in the third quarter. The third quarter was sort of on cue, the bad quarter for Atlanta in this game. Not a huge surprise there. There was a rough sequence early in that third quarter from Alex Len, which he committed a flagrant foul against Tristan Thompson actually had a huge game for Cleveland on this fine night, but Klay Thompson was the one that was the recipient of that flagrant foul. The Hawks actually took a 5-point lead at one point early in the third quarter, but from there it was a 17-2 run from the Warriors. Take a 10-point lead, sort of flip the script. From there, the Hawks never led again. They only scored 2 points in about 4.5 minutes there during that run. That was a rough stretch on both ends of the floor. I will say credit to DeAndre Bembry late in the third quarter for keeping the Hawks afloat. He had a nice steal and a dunk. He had a three. Also had a very, very good sort of 5-6 minute stretch where he kind of did it all. Had a couple nice passes as well, creating dunks for others. And I thought Bembry was kind of the biggest reason why the Hawks were able to stay within striking distance at the end of that third quarter, because the ball was rolling downhill in a big way. But when Bembry sort of had that nice stretch, he was able to keep things in check, which was important for the Hawks. In the fourth, there was a 15-6 run from the Warriors to kind of put the game away, at least in the way that we thought it was going to be. They were up by 15 at that point with about 8 minutes to go. Actually, we're up by 14 with about 6 minutes to go. But then Jeremy Lin had a nice stretch, much like Bembry. It was mostly geared by Lin. He had a 5 straight points to get back within single digits. He had a couple of really nice passes as well, some nice creation from Lin. He took a charge on Kevin Durant. Just a very, very good fourth quarter from Jeremy Lin. In fact, he closed the game. They never went back to Trae Young, which was probably the right move, honestly, if you're talking about right in the hot hand. Lin was just better in this game, especially in that fourth quarter than Young had been earlier in the game, so they went with the hot hand there. The Hawks actually got within five in the final minute or so. Just couldn't get the combination of stops and scores that they needed to do to come back from a big deficit, but honestly, credit to the Hawks to get back within seven at the final bell, because it looked like it was going to probably be somewhere around the 18-20 mark once they got to 15 with 5 minutes to go, or like 6 minutes to go or so. The Hawks never quit, as they have not this year for the most part, and credit to them for that nice closing kick there in this game. I will say, defensively, the numbers don't look great at the end of the day. They allowed a 111.9 offensive rating to the Warriors in the spot. That included 12 threes and 20 of 21 from the free throw line. Obviously, defense at the free throw line is not really a thing, but sending them to the line for that many attempts is not necessarily ideal. But it wasn't that much in the way of free throw attempts. They just made them all, to be honest with you. But a 112 offensive rating for the Warriors is not elite by their standards, but something that you have to probably, you know, hold them down a little bit more than that offensively. The Hawks produced a 104.8 offensive rating. Not a great spot there. The turnovers were not terrible. The Hawks didn't shoot the ball all that well, though. You know, 38% from the three is obviously pretty good, but only 45% from the field. 25 assists is decent, but nothing out of the ordinary in a positive way for this offense in this game. And just in general, it was one of those things where the Hawks just didn't have quite as much as they needed to in that fourth quarter, but no shots there. I will say this game was actually played at a pretty slow pace. You see the 110-103, you might think it was a fast-paced game. It was actually one of the slower pace games of the season for Atlanta. There was less than 100, actually only 96 possessions in this game. And one of those things where it's going to happen. The Warriors were kind of walking it up intentionally, playing slower than they normally would without Steph Curry and Draymond Green. That played into the Hawks' strengths a little bit, I would say, in this game. The Hawks normally want to play faster, but in a game with fewer possessions, that kind of allows them to, you know, have that small sample size theater work out and help the Hawks to keep things stabilized for the most part. But, you know, again, offensively, nothing great. And defensively, it was a good first half. Second half was a little bit unruly, but playing as a team that has some talent, and obviously Jonas Jerebko having a big game really kind of hurt the Hawks. He hit four threes, and so did Iguodala, was actually two of two from three as well. Old friend of the program, Quinn Cook, had 18-6 for the Warriors. So a couple of nice supporting performances from Golden State, but you know, we'll come back and talk more about the Hawks here in a moment. I do want to tell you guys to subscribe to the podcast. I would really appreciate that. We've already seen a lot of our numbers upticking in terms of subscriptions and downloads. So I really appreciate everyone that's already doing this. Please tell your friends if you have Hawks fan friends that want to listen to the pod. I would really appreciate their subscription and give us a chance. If you don't like the podcast, then I understand that. But hopefully, if you're listening, you'll keep coming back. And for the most part, we've had good feedback on recent shows. So one of those things, just follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Hawks on Twitter. Also, we can be found on basically every podcast platform imaginable. So if you're a podcast listener already, please keep dialing us up, subscribing, and hopefully if you subscribe, the podcast will just pop up in your feed, morning, noon, night when it drops, and that's always the easiest way to get the podcast. So thank you for listening as always, and without further ado, we'll come back after this short break and talk more about the individual play in this game. Okay, well, we'll come back and talk about the Hawks here, obviously, as we always do, but we'll start with the bench in this game, sort of going player by player to assess their contributions. Vince Carter had a very, very nice first half, didn't do a whole lot after the half, but 17 minutes from Vince, 11.6 rebounds, 3 assists. He had 4 of 7 from the floor and 3 of 5 from 3. Had a couple of big threes early in this game that were very important to keeping the Hawks engaged in that first quarter. I thought Carter, you know, didn't play a lot after the halftime break, but still, his minutes were very valuable early on in this game. This is probably a spot where he's probably more valuable than normal against a Warriors team that was shorthanded. His lack of force didn't really kill them, and honestly, there was some nice matchups for him along the way. But his shooting is still a very, very nice asset to have. You know, he's going to have to make shots, but he did, and Carter, I thought, played pretty well in his admittedly short periods of time. Alex Poitras, four points and 8 rebounds in 21 minutes. He played a lot in the fourth quarter. In fact, when the Hawks were making that closing kick, they were closing with Jeremy Lin, Alex Poitras, and Alex Lin for a lot of that time in the fourth quarter when they were kind of coming back. And Poitras played well in this game. He was good energy defensively. His rebounding was very good. He actually led the team in rebounding with those 8 rebounds in 21 minutes. You know, offensively, he takes some stuff off the table for the most part, but defensively, he's the best guy the Hawks have at the four right now, and his energy is very good. At least on a normal basis, and it definitely was here. So credit to him for playing well in this game. Miles Plumlee, 5 points, 2 assists, and a rebound in 11 minutes. He didn't do a whole lot in this game. Did give energy, but one of those games where if they had Dwight Debbin, that would have probably been a better option, obviously. But there was one stretch where he came in for Amari Spellman. I really couldn't complain. I've always advocated for a little bit less of Plumlee just because of the future-facing implications of that. But Plumlee has played reasonably well in the recent past. That kind of continued here. Wasn't quite as good as he's been in the last couple of games before this. But Plumlee gave them at least reasonable minutes against the duo of Damian Jones and Kevon Looney up front for the Warriors. Kevin Huerter was a little bit under the radar here, 2 points, 2 rebounds, Did have an assist and a steal. He was in 14 minutes. I thought Herter had a really, really nice look ahead pass at one point. Other than that, there wasn't too much to write home about for Herter. He was just kind of solid. I wanted him to take more shots, you know, only having four. I mean, four attempts wasn't bad here. There was one pull up that I thought he made that he missed in this game. I thought he wasn't terribly unassertive, just didn't really stuff the stat sheet, and defensively had a couple of uneasy moments, but it's going to happen. There were a few rookie moments in this game, but I thought Herter was actually pretty solid-ish in this game, which is fine, given the bright lights in Oakland. Jeremy Lin, 10 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds. I mentioned before, his fourth quarter was very good. He was 4 of 9 from the floor, 2 of 5 from 3. I didn't think he was anything great in the first half, but there were, you know, sort of on the whole here, I thought Lin played pretty well, and it was good to see him again continuing to play much better. He looks a lot more like the guy that we would have thought he would be once he was back and healthy. He's actually probably overqualified for the role that he's in right now with the Hawks. If we are assuming full health, and I think at this point we kind of are, he doesn't look quite as explosive as he did a couple of years ago, but that was never really a calling card for Lin. And honestly, you know, on a lot of different teams, he might be playing more than this. You know, the Hawks have this investment in Trae Young, which is documented. They should be playing Trae Young quite a bit. And defensively, the Hawks don't really have the pieces to play those guys together a lot in the backcourt. And also, they don't have a third point guard, so it kind of makes it difficult. I know the theory behind playing those two guys together might unlock the offense a little bit, although the numbers haven't been great with that unit so far this season. But just without that extra bodies and all the defensive talent that you probably need, because defensively it'll be rough with those two guys in the backcourt. So I understand the theory behind that. But just in general, as a backup point guard in this game, I thought he played well. And he was probably the best option in the fourth quarter when he was coming on. And he was the biggest reason why this game, at least in the fourth quarter, got back to within single digits, because he had a very nice stretch in there in the fourth quarter. Finally on the bench, DeAndre Bembry, 17 minutes, 4 of 7 from the floor, 2 of 3 from 3, 3 of 3 from the free throw line, had 13 points and 3 steals to go along with an assist, a rebound, and a block. Bembry, I mentioned, you know, earlier that the third quarter was really kind to him. That was his best stretch by far. I didn't think he was anything great in the first half, but at the same time, Bembry is capable of those really nice stretches, and he plays with some force. He's a good athlete. He plays good defense. You know, he's not necessarily the guy who you want guarding Kevin Durant just from a length standpoint. Durant kind of had his way with him a couple different times, but Bembry gives good effort, and I think defensively he's probably been the best wing that the Hawks have this season. You know, Bazemore has not been quite as good this year as he was last year defensively. Not that he's not a bad option there, by any means, but Bembry's probably the highest upside defender on the wing right now, and you saw that at different times in this game, including a nice steal and dunk that he had in the third quarter. So going to the starters, I will start with Amari Spellman, who had a really rough night. Did not score. He was 0-3 from the floor, 0-2 from 3, 3 rebounds, and a turnover. He did not play really. I don't think that Spellman played outside of the first stint in the third quarter. One of those games where he just didn't have anything going. Not a shot at him. It's one of those, you know, it's going to happen to him. And most rookies, you know, Trae Young, we'll talk about him in a second. Yeah, Spellman did not play in the fourth quarter, and justifiably so. Only played, actually, in the third quarter. He only played, I am pulling it up now. Sorry about this. This is live podcasting on the air and just kind of what happens on a podcast that talks about different things. Yeah, he played only 6 minutes in the third quarter, and that was it. So, yeah, that's it for Amari Spellman. And listen, I had no problem with that. I thought he was bad, honestly. Defensively, he had some really bad moments. It's a bad matchup for him, to be fair, in that, you know, even Jarebko plays a lot on the perimeter as a power forward. Obviously, you're not going to be able to put Spellman on Durant with any real clarity. So it wasn't a situation where he had a lot of guys that he could really guard defensively. And there were times when the Warriors were playing two bigs, but for the most part, they were trying to avoid that with the starters. And, yeah, you know, Spellman, I will say, he's had some really nice moments recently. Tonight was not one of those moments, and I'll sort of just leave it there. There are times where his offense kind of outweighs it, and he can go over his defensive foibles, but in this game, he was kind of unplayable, and I think the Hawks kind of figured that out pretty quickly and did not play him a whole lot after, honestly, you know, seeing a starter play 14 minutes is kind of jarring, and I think you probably earned that in this game. Trae Young, we will go ahead and talk about him now. 4 points. 9 assists, which is nice, obviously. 3 steals and 3 turnovers to go along with 5 rebounds. He was 2 of 12 from the floor and 0 of 5 from 3. Jeff Siegel, who is obviously a friend of the program, was tweeting a little bit about this at the end of the game. People were asking if it's time to worry about his jump shot. I'm not really worried about his jump shot on the whole, but it's not been good this year. You know, as a catch-and-shoot guy, his numbers are good, but his numbers off the dribble as a shooter have not been good. It's still a very, very small sample. I do think it's at least possible that Young was a little bit overrated as a shooter in the draft by people that thought he was, like, already an elite shooter. he's not that. He's a good shooter. He's a potential to be an elite shooter. There's really good utility in the fact that he can really space the floor, and he's being, as I mentioned before, early part of this podcast, he's being treated like a star, which is a good thing. That opens up a lot of lanes for everybody else on the floor, and his passing really unlocks. His passing is elite. That's something I've said before, and I'll say it again here, because that was the one thing in this game that he did very, very well, his pass. I would argue that there was a lot of talk about how bad he was in this game from a lot of people. I didn't think that Young was terrible, honestly. I thought he was. It's kind of funny whenever he's great, I always kind of find a way to tell you that he wasn't quite as good. But in this game, I don't think he was as bad as people would have thought that he was. There were a couple of bad shots, but for the most part, there were just some misses, and I don't think that he played that badly offensively. The 9 assists are nice. He didn't come back in, which I understood going with Lynn down the stretch, but his passing was good. His rebounding was actually sort of encouraging. His effort level offensively was not bad at all. He got some good looks. There were a couple of bad ones, as I mentioned before, but for the most part, just didn't make shots. Defensively, he was very bad in this game, which is not a new thing for Trae Young. There are good games and bad games, just as there are for everybody else. But his good games are like where he's just getting to be passable. His bad games are basically unplayable defensively, which is. Again, it's not unexpected. He's a rookie. He has his foibles there, but he was sort of dying on screens at different points in this game. I will say, if you want a positive takeaway aside from the passing, it's with the steals. He had 3 steals in the first half, and before this, he only had 5 steals the entire season. That's something that I've been talking about. I know Nate and Danny have been talking about on their podcast over at Dunked On as well. Young needs to have a higher steal rate. That's something also that Tyler Jones has been saying. It's absolutely right. The one thing that you could probably sort of bank on with him at the college level even was that he had a high steal rate. I think he has good hands and quick hands. It just hasn't manifested itself just so far this year. And because of his other limitations defensively, steals will really help. I think steals can be very, very overrated as a defensive stat. With that said, for someone like Young, he's going to probably need them to hold up. And good to see him get 3 in the first half in this game. Obviously positives and negatives. He didn't play well. There's no question about that. And sort of comparing his performance to other games, I thought that Young was not particularly good here. But there were some nice moments, especially as a passer. No big surprise there. He made a lot of plays in the first half. And I think, he was 2 of 10 from the floor in the first half. I thought people were kind of killing him. I thought he played well than people overall thought. It's kind of my takeaway here. He wasn't good, but he actually wasn't a disaster, even despite the fact that he didn't make shots in this game. Elsewhere, Alex Len, 14.7 rebounds. He was pretty uneventful. I did mention earlier, I believe, that he had a really bad stretch in the third quarter. Len is someone who just looks terrible at times, and that can be frustrating. I know he has some really bad, sort of inexplicable moments. At the same time, there is some real value in his size and his finishing ability. His rebounding comes and goes, which is unfortunate, but his rebounding was decent in this game on the whole. A couple of bad moments where he misses box outs and things like that. He's sort of just a spacey player. Maybe that's just kind of what he'll always be. But Len had some highs and some lows, as he usually does here. There were enough highs to justify playing him, but the lows were kind of frustrating, as they usually are. Torian Prince, 22 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists for Torian. He led the team in scoring on only 14 shots. So that's the positive, is that he was efficient as a scorer. 14 shots, he was 4 of 7 from the floor, from 3, I should say, 2 of 2 from the free throw line. There was a lot of over dribbling from Prince, a couple of bad shots in the mid range, one of which he made that I thought was just a terrible shot. It's like a 20 footer contested, just early in the shot clock, just a bad shot. But, Prince is capable of games where he doesn't necessarily play all that well, but also makes enough shots where it looks like he does. And that can save you on a lot of nights, and it kind of did here. Defensively, yeah, it wasn't terrible. He competed for the most part, at least by his standards. I thought he was pretty good, honestly, with his defense. There were a couple of moments where he'll madden you off the ball. But his effort level, as it usually is, was a little bit better against a good team here defensively, which is good. He plays up and down his competition, which can be frustrating. But I think, 22 points kind of overstates how well he played. I do think he shot the ball well, which is good to see. He had been struggling with his jumper this year. Early on in the year, he was kind of lights out for the first 3 or 4 games. And since then, he's been kind of cool. But so it's good to see him make shots in this game, even if I kind of think that overstates the way that he actually played, because there were some frustrating moments for him offensively. He just wasn't moving the ball. His passing was kind of sluggish this game. He's kind of just pounding the ball, over dribbling and things like that. So just something to keep an eye on with Prince. But he did shoot the ball well. He played 39 minutes in a game the Hawks needed him to play a lot of minutes, because he's really the only guy on the roster, physically, that you probably want guarding Kevin Durant a whole lot right now, because if just he's Durant's just a little bit longer, a little bit too long for Bembry. So Prince is the only guy who's like sized with Durant. Even then, he's still probably 3 inches shorter, because Durant's like 7 feet tall. But he gave a pretty good effort there, and I thought it was a pretty solid game for Prince, all things considered. Finally, kept Bazemore 18 points, 2 rebounds, an assist, and a steal, and a turnover for Baze in 27 minutes. He was, I actually thought he played more than that, and then I realized he didn't later on because he wasn't in that closing lineup for the most part. You know, Bazemore up and down game, 16 attempts from the floor, only 18 points. Not super efficient, but defensively, I thought he competed well against Thompson, holding Clay relatively in check, 24 points on 19 shots for Thompson. You know, Bazemore was fine, honestly, in this game. 18 points is, you know, what it is. You know, not necessarily overly efficient, but somewhat sort of a solid two-way Kent Bazemore game. Nothing too high or too low, and I think that was you know, fine to see here. It's kind of a anticlimactic way to end this podcast, but Bazemore was just fine in this game. So you know, again, on the whole, a good performance from the Hawks for the most part. Losing by 7 in the Warriors is nothing to be ashamed about. Obviously, it's another loss. It's 5 straight for Atlanta. They're now 3-11. The road trip is not getting any easier, honestly, because I would argue that, you know, on the road against Denver at full strength is actually more difficult than the Warriors team that played tonight with only two of their 4 guys. So, especially with altitude and all that fun stuff. So that's the next game on the agenda for the Hawks on Thursday night in Denver, and they'll close over the weekend against the Pacers on Saturday. So, yeah, pretty uphill climb. Would not be a surprise to anyone if they finish this road trip at 3-13, and that's going to be rough. But at the same time, you know, we'll see what happens there. As we always do, we'll come back with another podcast. Hopefully, I'm going to have a guest that's tentatively lined up for Wednesday night. If that happens, we'll have a new podcast on Thursday. If not, we'll come back on Friday with obviously a game recap and some other stuff. We do have one I guess reasonably interesting sort of topic that I'm purposely holding off on for tonight. So we'll hold on for that. I could just spend the entire podcast on the game this evening. So that's kind of where we are at this point in time. I went a little bit longer than I probably normally do on a recap podcast, just because this is one that I know a lot of people didn't see. It's about 10:40. I'm recording this, you know, after 2 a.m. So I'm sure people did not last to the end of this game. So I wanted to be a little bit more thorough than usual, just because of the fact that guys and gals, I know missed this game because the people have to go to work, and I have to do the same thing. So I'll be going to bed very shortly here, and I'm sort of dragging. So I understand the sentiment altogether. But there you go on the podcast. So please subscribe to the pod. I really appreciate everybody that's already done that, and please tell your friends if you want to do that and do it yourself. Subscribe, leave 5-star feedback, subscribe multiple outlets. You know, you can unsubscribe and then resubscribe. That probably helps us as well. Regardless, thank you for listening to the podcast. We'll see you guys later on in the week.